Well, goodness sakes, hello out there once again. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with my program, which airs a few times a week for your listening pleasure, amusement, maybe for throwing a rock at your radio or listening device. But that's how we roll here at the station. A little controversy, a lot of humor, frequent peppered surprises, and who knows what else. So what do we do on this program that we call the Adam, the Computer Guy radio program? And I also host Mid-Morning Coffee Break. Well, of course, we drink coffee mid-morning, mid-afternoon, evening, just not before you try to go to bed, because it'll kind of cause insomnia. So drink coffee during my program or anything else that we air on this fine station. And this program, we talk about technology, security, keeping your computers and other technological gadgetry away from prying eyes, ears, hands, noses, servers, and what else? Some new and improved stuff that's down the pike, making your system work better, artificial intelligence, self-driving cars, planes, and who knows what else. And sometimes we talk about politics, and we always tell a joke or have a wisecrack or two, especially when I'm at the microphone. Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam, that is myself, airs Monday between about 10:13 a.m. Eastern and 11. And this program airs 2:13 p.m. or so Eastern time to 3, Tuesday and Thursday in the mid-afternoon. It's almost time for daylight savings time. How about that? Seems like, and this really wasn't surprising, we had all that wintry weather in February, cold, snowy, some wind. Then suddenly, weather breaks and we had temperatures in the low 60s in some parts of the mid and central Ohio area, but highs for the next few days, 40s and 50s, so about seasonal, maybe a little bit above. So kind of happens. I figured that it would. My grass is already getting a little greener, so get the old mower out. Not yet, but getting there. Certainly time to clean out the yard, trim some weeds, and clean up the brush and the thatch. Maybe cut off some branches that no longer really serving their purpose, and get ready for probably the most exciting season in this part of the state and the country. It's also time for my birthday, late in the spring, but springtime, always a good time, happy time. We get largely increasing amounts of sunshine every day. One day it might be 60, 70, one day it might be 30 or 40. Just makes it more fun. But no matter where you are, in the car, at the office, at the virtual office, at the house, you can always turn our station on in the Marion area, 107, goodness sakes, 107.1 frequency modulation, FM, megahertz, or listen online through the TuneIn app or through our website directly at WWGH1071.com. As I mentioned, if you ever want to email me, that would be wonderful because I really enjoy hearing from you. Even if you just want to email me and say, "Hi, Adam, how are you doing today?" Or you want to say, "Hi, Adam, you're a whack job." That's okay, too. I don't mind that. If you can't make fun of yourself, then why should you make fun of anything or anybody? So again, the email address is adam@wwgh1071.com. And we have a private email server, just like Hillary and Melania. So you can be assured, unlike Hillary, we read every single message. Of course, if it's a spam message, I'll, of course, hit the delete button. But from our listeners, I read every message, and I also reply even to say thank you, and I'll get back to you. But normally, I try to answer any objections, questions, comments, concerns immediately. So send me an email. Me and my computer will thank you greatly. Let's take a look at some interesting news in the world of technology and smart stuff, the Internet of Things. Nostalgia website MyHeritage has launched a new service that allows you to create lifelike animations of faces in still photos. I'm kind of into the genealogy and tracing my family tree, and so this is certainly right up my alley. This artificial intelligence-powered service is called Deep Nostalgia. It was launched in late February. It's free to try and is remarkably accurate in depicting how a person would look if captured on video. Looking at some examples, and it is quite creative, very accurate. And very good programming there. People a lot smarter than myself doing this kind of programming. Gilad Japet, the founder and CEO of MyHeritage, said, "You'll have a wow moment when you see a treasured family photo come to life with deep nostalgia. It depicts how a person would look with their eyes blinking, head moving, and mouth smiling. What would happen if you were to put a mask on that person?" Well, I guess that would be something we can save for another show. He said, and this is again Gilad Japet, the founder and CEO of MyHeritage. He said, "Seeing our beloved ancestors' faces come to life in a video simulation lets us imagine how they might have been in reality and provides a profound new way of connecting to our family history. To create deep nostalgia, MyHeritage teamed up with DID, an Israeli company focused on deep learning and synthetic media." DID, that's capital D hyphen capital I capital D. Anyway, their co-founder and CEO is Gil Perry, and he said, "I like the partnership with them because both of us really care about the sensitivity of animating people who are no longer with us." He said that it has taken his firm years to cross the, quote, uncanny valley in synthetic media. With synthetic media, you reach a level where it looks good, but a viewer still senses something is wrong. We've managed to cross that uncanny valley and create perfect synthetic media. Now, MyHeritage, again, they've developed some artificial intelligence software that lets you take an old photo of your great-grandma maybe, a 100-year-old photo, and animate it. So you can see this person, the lips moving, the smiling, making facial expressions. Very cool. Anyway, MyHeritage explained that Deep Nostalgia uses several pre-recorded driver videos prepared by the firm, which direct the movements in the animation and consist of sequences of real human gestures. A preferred driver is automatically selected for each face based on its orientation and then seamlessly applied to the photo. To achieve optimal results, the photos are enhanced prior to animation using the MyHeritage Photo Enhancer, which brings blurry and low-resolution faces into focus and increases their resolution. Users can animate several photos for free, regardless of the number of faces in the picture. Beyond that, continued use requires a subscription. The video animation can be downloaded as an MP4, a common video format, and shared, of course, on your social media. While some people may be charmed by adding new life to old photos, others may find it a bit creepy. Should we leave well enough alone? Well, I would like to kind of see what my grandmother and my great-grandmother. I only knew one of my great-grandmothers. All of my grandparents were alive when I was born, but before I even was even at school age. Three of them had passed away. My mother's mother, she passed away in the early 90s. So I do miss my grandparents every day. And my father just passed away, as I've just talked about. My mother has been deceased since March of 93. So honestly, I see this as being sentimental, being a way to remember the loved ones whom you've lost earlier in life. So it's a matter of opinion. I just don't personally see it as creepy. Daniel Castro, VP of the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation. They're a research and public policy organization in Washington, D.C. He kind of agrees with me. He said, "Calling this creepy seems extreme. We've seen a lot of interesting advances in artificial intelligence, or AI, which allow for reconstruction of videos and images, such as adding color to black and white photos, or creating high-resolution videos from old grainy photos. This latest example is another similar advance that allows for more advanced image generation." Jean-Claude Goldenstein, CEO of CREO Point, a brand and reputation protection provider in San Francisco, said, "There's no simple or single answer to whether this type of deep fake is creepy or fun. As a son," he said, "I imagine I'd be in favor of a robot with a deep fake of my mother if she could not assist my dad who had Alzheimer's. But imagine a deep fake of the CEOs of Citadel and Robinhood colluding against Reddit retail investors. That would be very far from fun in the run-up to Robinhood's initial public offering." All the stuff with the short squeeze, stocks from AMC and GameStop and others, and this could put something else in that mix. Interesting stuff in an unusual year, 2021. You know, 2020 part two, I guess. Daniel Castro from DC, whom we quoted earlier, noted that there are a lot of interesting applications for the technology in deep nostalgia, like video editing and video conferencing. He said video conferencing services can reduce bandwidth usage if they can instead replicate certain movements on their own, or they can allow video interactions to appear seamless on a weak connection. Also, deep nostalgia is considered just the tip of the iceberg for this kind of technology and things that deep nostalgia can offer to people. For example, it can be used by filmmakers to reshoot scenes without bringing actors back to a set. It's like a money and time saver to me. They can be at a remote location and be inserted into the scene. That's a little creepy to me, but I could see that having some practical usages. They're also working on synthesizing mouth movements, so when a film is dubbed, the actor will look as if he or she is speaking in the dubbed language. Sometimes you see a film, they have dubs when it was originally in French or Spanish or an Asian language or what have you. They turn it into English or a different language, and the lips don't move with the words, but this could fix that. While there are many worthwhile applications for synthetic media, deep fakes, as they're called, remain a serious concern. But it is one that should be addressed through legislation aimed at particular harms, like election misinformation, another big one, the election fraud controversy, or harassment, or other harmful acts, like distributing the fake nudes about somebody without his or her consent. Aviva Litton, a security and privacy analyst at Gartner, maintained that it's relatively easy to create deep fakes. The services are available on the internet. You can just go get them. Right now, she said, it's being used mainly in the porn industry for revenge porn. Another hot topic, posting something naughty because you don't like a certain individual. The porn industry always leads in innovation, she joked. And, you know, in many ways it does. Although far from mature, deep fakes have already proven to be hard to detect. The detection rate will probably end up at 50%. But even right now, Facebook has only been 65% accurate in catching deep fakes. You know, Facebook and their fake news and incomplete story, partial fact-checking, that's another topic. We could spend a whole week of shows on that one. And she said it's a big threat looming on the horizon. Again, that's from an expert in this kind of stuff, Aviva Litton from Gartner. She knows a lot about security and privacy. In a research note by her, she predicted that in 2 years, one out of five successful account takeover attacks will use deep fakes to socially engineer users to turn over sensitive data or more money into criminal accounts. That is, pretending you're someone else or making these artificially intelligence-generated movements of your lips or other body parts. She said that criminals take over user accounts to gain access to sensitive information and intellectual property, as well as to steal funds from financial accounts. Most theft of money and misinformation starts with user account takeover, as criminals leverage weak security controls typically guarding these accounts. Enterprises are incented to raise the security bar and incorporate biometric assurance and verification into their multi-factor authentication applications. This uses facial and voice recognition, facial and voice verification from Life Images. It's quite deep stuff. As well as voice recordings or videos that users present in a live session to the authenticating organization so that it can verify the legitimate user's liveness and authenticity. Is it real? Is this something engineered in a computer, in a lab, or is it really this person talking and doing other stuff? She said ominously, deepfakes will render most biometric authentication and verification useless, as criminals can easily mimic user voices, images, and videos. So, yeah, ulterior motives for something, which we talked about initially, is not only cool, but has incredible sentimental value. And she said most existing biometric user authentication must be upgraded to incorporate technologies that can detect the presence of a deep fake imposter and assure the presence of a legitimate user. So just all kinds of interesting tidbits that these smart programmers and researchers can come up with. And just the idea that we can take a picture of your great-grandparent from 100 years ago and make him or her come to life, that's beautiful as I see it. But there is a dark side to this also, where criminals can have ulterior motives in making photos come to life or modified. And again, it also makes biometric authentication, authenticating by your fingerprint, for example, puts a very new wrinkle into that. Adam Lepp here, the computer guy, here on The Talking Place, WGH 107.1 on your FM dial here in Marion, and broadcasting online at our website and on TuneIn, WGH1071.com. You've probably heard of phishing. Not the kind of thing you do, you know, maybe by drilling a hole in the ice and ice fishing, or going to a lake or stream or ocean, whatever, putting out the fishing pole and catching a delicious trout or bass or other fish. We're talking about phishing with a PH. P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, where you get an email saying it's your bank, you need to log in and tell them your password, or that it is from a long-lost friend who needs you to wire him or her thousands of dollars. Of course, those are all fake. The banks don't send you an email wanting your password, but criminals do, and they pretend that they're the bank, and many of them are pretty good at pretending, and some people fall for those schemes, which is unfortunate because it could result in disastrous consequences. So as I tell you folks, and I can't say this enough, if you get an email that looks fishy, it almost always is. If it smells like a rat, it probably is. If you aren't sure it's from your bank, call your bank and ask. More than likely, they will confirm that it's not. And of course, you can always call your friendly neighborhood computer tech person, who can probably give you the same answer. So what is the current state of the phishing issue? A big problem here in the United States and all over the world. Anybody using a computer can be an intended victim. Proofpoint is a cybersecurity company. We've talked about them in the past. In 2020, they said, despite an environment conducive to phishing scams, people at home more, not going to the office, people going to school from their computer at the house, getting more emails and communications. So yes, 2020 you would think would be a very big year for phishing scammers. Anyway, these scammers achieved only a marginal increase in success in last year, which is a good news. Thankfully, computer users are getting smarter, and security has improved, so this is a positive step. Catastrophic events like the COVID-19 issue, coupled with hasty technological change, like many people forced to work from home immediately, have been a rich environment in the past for the phishers, not surprisingly, who use deception to infect machines with malware, as well as steal credentials, steal your passwords, your bank account, your social security number, things like that, and invade corporate networks. But in a survey performed in connection with Proofpoint's annual State of the Fish report, where they analyze how much of this is going on, how many people and companies are falling for it, 57% of organizations in 7 countries revealed they were targets of a successful phishing last year, which is an increase of only 2% over 2019. But think of the amount of time that's been spent on computers last year versus 2019. So the 2% increase is well behind that, and that's good news. I'd like to see that 57% become zero, but we got to take baby steps. Phishers were a lot more successful here in the United States, though. 74% of organizations told researchers they had experienced a successful phishing attempt last year, and that is opposed to 60% in 2019. So not great, but we need to stop this in its tracks ASAP. Doing research on it certainly helps, and it brings to light that this is no joke. While the increase in successful attacks was slight, their impact wasn't. Compared to 2019, this report noted that the number of respondents who told researchers that phishing attacks resulting in data loss increased 13%. Those leading to credential compromise jumped 11%. So if you answer an email which is fake, saying it's your bank, the IRS, a business associate, what happens? Well, it could be very costly. It could put you out of business. It could make you totally lose your good credit and even affect your criminal record. That's some serious stuff here. So again, don't answer these phishing emails. If it says it's from your bank, that they want your password, they want your PIN, they say it's the IRS, hit the delete key. But if you aren't sure that it really is fake, again, call the bank, call whomever it says it's from, call your local computer tech. But I can assure you, if it smells like a rat, it certainly is in almost every case. The impact of successful phishing attacks varied by region, which is based on data from 2 surveys, one of 3,500, check this out, working adults in 7 countries, all high-tech countries, the United States, Spain, Japan, Germany, France, Australia, the UK, as well as one of 600 IT security professionals in those countries, and an analysis of 75 million phishing emails. So a big sample size. So this report, again, from a security firm, Proofpoint, telling how many phishing attempts have been made and how many of them were successful in stealing credentials or causing other disastrous circumstances. So in Japan, country known for very good technology, Japan's organizations were the least likely to deal with direct financial loss from phishing, 11%. Relatively good, but again, unless it's 0%, it's not good at all. That contrasts with the United States, 35%, way too high, more than 1 in 3, of organizations suffered immediate financial loss. That's nearly twice the global average. Folks, people are more gullible here in the States, and I think that is the case. We're just more trusting in this case, and don't be. Assume any email you get could be fake, unless you have clear and convincing evidence that it's not. Again, don't be afraid to ask your friendly computer tech, ask a friend or business associate for a second opinion. Call the supposed sender of the message. Better safe than sorry. No one ever suffered from embarrassment in this case. More than 2/3 of Australian organizations were affected by phishing-based ransomware, where you answer a phishing message and it ends up hijacking your computer. You have to pay to get your data back, or you lose the data, or you have to go ahead and restore from a backup. And that's certainly not fun, and it's expensive. France, 25%. Historically, malicious actors have been quick to launch campaigns based on current events. Again, the COVID-19 situation certainly is an inviting scenario for these bad actors, these phishers, and that's unfortunate. Attackers were on it early, according to a senior security awareness strategist at Proofpoint, Gretel Egan, and she said, attackers were on it early, and they were prolific. Not surprising. They saw an opportunity, and they grabbed it, which, at a lack of a better term, stinks. She said there was a lot of uncertainty, fear, and doubt early in the COVID-19 situation, and it continues now. Attackers were taking advantage of that. We saw subject lines around your coworker has tested positive. Your neighbor has tested positive, aiming at driving people to open that email and fall into a trap. Again, these malicious actors, these scammers, these phishers, they're very smart. But you have to be one step above them and be smarter than they are, which really isn't that hard. Evgeny Gennadin is head of information security and analytics at Positive Technologies, a global cybersecurity firm, company. It's a lot of words. Anyway, he said, according to research by his company, in the first quarter of last year, 13% of all phishing attacks were related to COVID-19. Of those, 44% targeted individuals. Not surprising at all. The percentage of malware attacks and social engineering attacks against government agencies increased significantly as well. And this may be due to the pandemic. Many attackers sent emails to government agencies of various countries with malicious attachments related to the coronavirus crisis. Gennadin added that the pandemic situation was used both for mass malware campaigns and other types of attacks. With so much attention on the virus, he said, it's very possible that more hacks are being aimed at companies in every sector as IT teams globally are busier than usual maintaining operations for the large increase in remote workers. Another sign that phishers were hot to exploit the pandemic was the increase in suspicious domain name registrations last year. And that's always interesting. What kind of domains do they register? Because that will affect searches and make something sound more attractive. So in 2020, there were almost 12,500 new domains being registered containing the word vaccine, COVID, or both. And that comes from Shashi Prakash from Bolster in San Jose, California. That's quite eye-opening. Over 12,000 new domains registered last year, .com, .net, what have you, containing vaccine, COVID, or both. Of those, over 6,000 sites showed signs of being weaponized for some sort of phishing or scam attack. Companies had to quickly transition to a new remote work environment, in many cases that included rapidly spinning up new technology. And that comes from Stephen Bay, a Cyber Fusion Securities Operation Practice Lead. These people have long titles, don't they? At Kudelski Security, based in Switzerland. He said this increased the risk to businesses and likely made them more vulnerable and open to attacks. Phishing is already the most successful way to breach an organization, he said. Layer on top of that the fact that people were more likely to click on a phishing email related to COVID-19, and it's easy to see that hackers viewed it as a prime opportunity to launch attacks and breach organizations. Now, this report, a report on phishing across the world, how do countries compare, and is it getting worse, getting better? So anyway, it comes from Proofpoint, a cybersecurity firm, and they noted that malware infections from phishing attacks dropped by 17% from 2019 to 2020, and that organizations saying that they experienced direct financial losses due to phishing dropped 47%. So less malware and less impact, but again, unless it drops 100%, I'm still not going to be happy. The report reasoned these results could indicate that organizations have implemented stronger preventive measures against these types of attacks. Although the report found the number of organizations affected by ransomware attacks remained unchanged, there was a change in how ransoms were paid. More than 50% of organizations that were infected opted to pay a regain access to their data. That was a slight increase over 2019, but we see fewer people getting access to data after a single payment. So with this ransomware, the hacker demands that you make a payment, often in Bitcoin, and usually it's hundreds of dollars or it could be thousands for a company, in order to get your data unencrypted. And whether or not they actually will unencrypt, that's another issue. Obviously, it's best to avoid this to begin with and keep everything backed up and secure. But this happens, unfortunately, and you can imagine it's not a pretty sight. But we need to protect ourselves and ensure ourselves against what could happen if this were to occur, as companies can certainly go out of business in some cases, and they have, and it's very unfortunate. A lot more organizations were delivered follow-up demands for more money, and a lot more organizations were willing to pay those follow-up demands. So the phishers, the ransomware scammers, and that's what they are. They're scammers. In fact, calling them scammers is being nice. They're criminals. They're hardened criminals. And many times they want more money after you make one payment, which could be a large payment. 32% paid the extra ransom in 2020 compared to 2% in 2019. Fleming Shi is from Barracuda Networks, well-known security and storage solutions provider in California. And he said, in 2020, ransomware amounts skyrocketed. Some criminal groups aren't using fixed amounts anymore. They're fixing the ransom amount based on a percentage of a company's revenue. So a small business would pay less than a company like IBM or Kroger. But again, even one penny is too much. So why do phishing emails continue to work despite education programs to expose them and technologies to block them? Saryu Nayyar from Garucci. That's not Gucci like the clothing company, but Garucci. Garucci Gucci Goo. Well, I had to stick that in there. These people have such cool names and cool company names, so I don't mind a benign ribbing of sorts, and I'm sure they would probably giggle along with me. Anyway, this lady said that while most anti-spam and anti-phishing filters do a great job at catching the most common hooks, the ones that do make it through tend to be topical and clever. That's right. Get someone's attention. Tell a joke, which makes them more likely to catch the intended victim. In addition, phishers continue to evolve their craft. They get smarter and smarter. Organizations sending phishing emails are more structured. That comes from Adrienne Gendre from Vade Secure, an email filtering service in France. And he said, these are global organizations providing tools, platforms, and services that can be leveraged and licensed to local organizations. This has increased the quality of the phishing emails significantly. He said they're much more sophisticated in the way they spread phishing emails. Before, you might see 100,000 emails, and they were all the same. Now we're seeing 100,000 emails, and everyone is different in some way. They are using links. They're using tricks to make the content highly dynamic and make the emails unique when compared to each other. So if you were to get a phishing email, you might ask business associate, did you get that message? And that person might have gotten it, but it would have worded differently, a different sender, different language, different structure, and how the words come together. And that might make it look more legitimate, but you know, folks, they're still fake. These scammers, these criminals, these phishers, they're getting smarter, but it really isn't hard to stay one step above them. The quality of the web pages linked to the phishing emails have also improved. I have a presentation where I show two Microsoft login pages, and that comes again from Adrienne Gendre, the email filtering service person from Vade Secure in France. I have a presentation where I show two Microsoft login pages. I ask my audience to vote by a show of hands which page is real, which one is malicious. Sometimes it's hard to tell. That's why it's good to take a breath, get a sip of coffee, and try to figure that out. And if you're not sure, don't be afraid to call your friendly neighborhood computer tech, or in some cases, probably not in the case of Microsoft, but in other cases, call the place whose identity is being forged or maybe providing a real page, a lot like your bank, for example, because banks are used to those calls because they are targets of this all the time. Anyway, much of the people chose the malicious page. So these scammers, they're pretty sharp. You got to be sharper than they are. The reason they chose the malicious one is because it has a better user experience than the real one. And you know what? With Microsoft, their website really isn't that good. So honestly, as a scammer, I think wouldn't have too hard of a time taking that page and making it look more attractive, which is a good reason why, if you're a business owner, nonprofit organization person, make your web pages look as professional as possible. That way, it's going to be hard to differentiate between a fake page and the real one. And, you know, Microsoft, really, one of those bigger companies where their web page, honestly, just really isn't very good. And this is one possible disastrous consequence of that. Adam Lepp here, the computer tech, the computer guy, the computer homo sapiens, whatever you want to designate me as, here on The Talking Place, WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. We're talking today about artificial intelligence, about taking taking an old photo of maybe your great-grandmother and making it animate, making it into a video where you can see her lips moving and facial expressions, just like if you were fortunate enough to have known her, as I knew my great-grandmother. She passed away when I was a child, but loves her dearly, and I do miss her every day. I could look at an old picture of her and just imagine that I'm back to being 7 or 8 years old and hanging out with her. So it's cool stuff, but unfortunately, some organizations and individuals have ulterior motives for this. And security in the computer business and the communications realm, always a top thing. And the story after that, again, phishing, fake emails from your bank, Microsoft, the IRS, whatever. How to tell the difference and how much of an impact has it had? Some cybersecurity experts agree with a report by Cybersecurity Ventures and expect financial damages from cybercrime to reach, check this out, $6 trillion, $6 trillion with a T, by the end of this year. That's a lot of dough, folks. Industry studies show that cyber attacks are among the fastest growing crimes in the United States. Robert McKay is from Neustar. He knows about this kind of stuff, about risks in the IT business. Cyber attacks, he said, are absolutely on the rise based on everything we know and every single analyst we have spoken with. There is no doubt that attacks are increasing. Cybersecurity experts, he said, predict in this year, 2021, there will be a cyber attack incident every 11 seconds. That's twice what it was in 2019. Four times from 2016. So cyber attacks are on the rise. Again, it's among the fastest growing crime in the United States, and that's certainly disturbing. The rapid and growing increase in cyber attacks worldwide comes at a hefty cost for businesses in order to better protect their computer networks from intrusions. Cyber attacks not only are increasing in frequency, but they are costing victims larger financial losses. Worldwide, cybercrime costs businesses, government agencies, and consumers in general $1 trillion last year. That's about 1% of the global gross domestic product. 1% of the entire amount of the economy is the cost of cybercrime. That's disturbing. But we need to know about this, and we need to get that number way down. Unless it's zero, I'm not going to be happy, and neither should you. $945 billion was lost to cyber incidents, and $145 billion was spent on cybersecurity. Those costs increased more than 50% from 2019 over 2018. 20% of organizations worldwide have no plans to protect against cybercrime events, according to a report. And this leaves a gaping hole in networks for cybercriminals to extend their attack strategies to steal even millions of dollars more. The one sure defense, according to the experts, is to step up efforts to pass legislation that bolsters technological defenses. That may be the only way to alter the course of ongoing cyber attacks. Despite all the efforts into protecting systems and data, cloud breaches, that is where data is stored over the internet, in the cloud, so to speak, like Microsoft OneDrive or Dropbox being two large and well-known cloud providers. Cloud breaches are likely to increase in both velocity and scale. That comes from John Kinsella, an expert in this stuff, a report he made in the summer of last year. He said the analysis comes as cloud breaches have been rampant over the last 2 years. More than 30 billion records have been exposed as a result of cloud infrastructure misconfigurations. Nearly 98% of all cyber attacks rely on some form of social engineering to deliver a payload like malware or ransomware, which we've talked about. One of the most successful attack formats cyber criminals use regularly to initiate a social engineering attack is through the phishing emails, which we just talked about. Threat actors distribute malware via email over 90% of the time. COVID, again, has accelerated organizations' digital transformation. Therefore, the ability to set up workloads in the cloud and get them through compliance and security challenges is in demand. Part of the reason is that the workloads that had resisted moving to the cloud were exactly the highly regulated ones. And the forced move out of on-site data centers managed by an IT department is driving up demand for cloud-based compliance and security skills. So as we move data from being stored locally at an office, at a factory, or even at your home, to storing it online, again, through an online data storage service. I mentioned Dropbox, Microsoft's OneDrive being examples, Google Drive, and others. Security becomes more important as you can be more vulnerable. Certainly, it's convenient and automatically is being backed up because it's not even sitting on your computer. But is it vulnerable to an attack, to data loss, other types of compromise? Well, it certainly is, and we need to take that into account and take it seriously. So we talk a lot about computer security today. Hopefully it was good information. As I said, if you get an email and it looks suspicious, well, I tell you, it probably is. And the way that this can affect, in a very negative way, people, businesses, nonprofits, it's mind-boggling and does need to be curbed, to put it mildly. About time for the bell to ring and my show to take a conclusionary note. For me to exit the chair, brush off the microphone, and we will hear the top of the hour features like we do every hour here on The Talking Place. Again, I remind you, we have many programs for your listening pleasure every week. Mike Wilson at about 15 minutes after 5 every Monday, talking with local interesting people from all over the great Mid-Ohio area. Linda Sims every Monday and Tuesday afternoon. And of course, the interviewer to the stars by day, grocery bagger, at least that's what the grapevine says, grocery bagger by night, the one and only Scott E. Spears. He is on for you every weekday between about 8:15 a.m. and 10 with celebrity interviews, interviews with people from around the area, the mayor, the school superintendent, people from law enforcement, our local government celebrity, the lovely Mary Ellen Withrow, and much more. These people are on regularly with Scott. Of course, he takes your phone calls. I call in frequently, and he plays Family Feud. It's just amazing what happens during that program. You don't want to miss it. So again, set the alarm clock, make the coffee, in case you are not a morning person, because I'm really not a morning person. 8:15 a.m. and 10 every weekday morning for that fine program. Scott is also live with the always interesting and always lovely Angie Evers every Friday evening between about 8:15 p.m. and 10 for Friday Night Live. Another program that is well worth your time. Just to cancel your Friday socializing plans, at least the ones that would take place before 10, and listen to Friday Night Live. Your ears and your brain and certainly your funny bone will thank you profusely. Be sure to visit our website at WWGH1071.com for archives of my program and others, to listen online, to find out about our hosts, and any other gossip and tidbits that might be floating around this radio station. Adam Lepp, thanking you for listening. Again, I am on with you for mid-morning coffee break between approximately 10:15 a.m. and 11 every Monday morning, and 2:13 p.m. to 3 p.m. every Tuesday and Thursday. Feel free to send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com, and certainly become a fan of ours on Facebook for updates at least once a day during the weekday, sometimes more frequently. And of course, we welcome your comments and suggestions and feedback on our Facebook page. This is your radio station. Again, take full advantage of that. You will be pleased. Pleased as punch, to put it mildly. Have a great rest of your day, folks. And as they say, TTYL, AdamTheComputerGuy.com.
See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know your temper style? When I thought of what you told me, nearly made me lose my head. Reminded her of what she said. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. Can't you see you're in my way now? Don't you know your temper style? Pretty daddy, you know my love is just for you. She said, I'm sorry, pretty daddy, you know my love is just for you. Won't you say that you'll forgive me and say your love for me is true? I said, oh, wait a minute, daddy, I know you mean it just for play. I said, wait a minute, daddy, I know you mean it just for play.
See you later, alligator.